in the first chapter to the Colossians, and the 28th verse, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. But I would say this, that you cannot preach Christ without preaching his people. For in salvation, Christ and his people the whole of the matter. There were no people of God, and the Lord Jesus would never have come to this world. This world was created for them because it pleased the glorious Trinity that he should create a creature capable of knowing him. A creature capable of being brought into union with him. A creature possible of possessing him who in his person is eternal. That's what the world was created for. Not for different people to make fortunes. Oh, the best that the world calls the best. And what they're killing one another. Oh, what a sight it is. Oh, selfishness of greed. Killing of innocent people. Violent men. And other sins. But the Lord has a people that he has predestinated to the adoption of sons. Blessed people. I wonder if we are one. Oh, my friends. He does exercise us when we look at ourselves. For the most part through life, in the exercise of our souls, there will be two we should look at. Ourselves and Christ. It'd be a mercy if he looks upon us. And if he fulfills that scripture, and he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And if he regards your prayer, he will regard your person. He can't regard your prayer without regarding you. These are the things. Much as we may speak of his mercies and his judgments, the psalmist did sing. He sung about both. We should know both. It's a very solemn thing for people to which mercy has nothing to do. So they groan under his judgments. But the psalmist said, I will sing of mercy, and not complain and rebel at judgment, but sing of judgment too. You see, the two fit, and they'd be made to fit by the wisdom of God in the covenant of grace. And everything that Christ has brought with him, which is a complete fullness, Everything fits the sinner. It is of such a nature in the wisdom of God, and that every grace and everything that the Lord Jesus did fits a sinner exactly what they need, whom we preach. Perhaps you've noticed that in the Ephesians, and especially in that first chapter, this whom is spoken of several times, whom we preach in the Ephesians, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in whom he also trusted after that he heard the word of truth, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In whom? Oh, this blessed whom. Everything's in him, and everything that a sinner can need. Whom we preach. Oh, but it is solemn work. I have felt sometimes, and very wrongly, I have felt sometimes that an angel could preach better. An angel that had never sinned against his God. But an angel couldn't preach. He knew nothing about sin. He wouldn't need redemption. He wouldn't need a Savior. He wouldn't need the Lord Jesus to come to this world. He wouldn't need his sufferings, his agony. It's a mystery. What sin has done, not only in the destruction, but also in salvation. The salvation of sinners is a greater act than the creation of the world. But we do need the Holy Spirit to help us to say right things and remember whom we preach. And that should be the first thing, really. Whom? That is, this person, who he is. Before he condescended to take human nature, he was one of the Trinity. He hadn't a body, he was a spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But we are not spirits, and the sins of people against God could not be expiated by spirits. It must be by the same nature that sinned. And therefore it is said that children, being partakers of flesh, he himself also took part of the same as love divine. Whom we preach. This person then is infinite. It cannot be contained. He feels eternity. He is illimitable. Illimitable in his person and illimitable also in his ability, in his works, whom we preach, the eternal Son of God. There is one thing very important to realize about God, and that is he can know no necessity. Nothing's necessary to him. He does everything according to his own will and the counsels and decrees and purposes of the covenant of grace, whom we preach. He is to be preached. It is a method. Had it been his method, his purpose, he could have saved his people by the work of the Holy Ghost in their hearts without preaching. There have been a minority of his people, few that have been called by grace apart from preaching. But generally, and his purpose is that he has connected preaching with salvation, and it makes the preaching of the word exceedingly important and difficult, and a great responsibility to the one who speaks, and a great responsibility to those that hear. There are responsibilities among men, and they should be rightly attended to. I don't despise or wouldn't speak wrongly about the things of this world. God's put every one of us here for a purpose. We have an object designed for us in the providence of God. And whatsoever thy hands find to do, do it with thy might. All the millions of this world, they are appointed here for some purpose. And one of the greatest of sins today is that is denied, not so much in word as in practice. If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. But look at it. Look at the confusion in the industrial world. And that terrible saying, I could not care less. Oh, men, sinners, whom we preach, another man. Two heads round of two peoples. The devil is the head of the unbelievers. The Lord Jesus is the head of his church. The next thing that we would preach concerning this glorious Lord is that he, in love to the people that the Father gave him, in love said, "Lo, I come." In the volume of the book it is written of me, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." He delighted to do it. And if you look at that account, you'll find that he said that after it was declared sacrifices thou wouldest not. Levitical sacrifices could do no good. They were appointed of God. They were types. They were shadows. They were for the time being. But the conclusion of them year by year was a remembrance of sin. But the gospel speaks differently. Whom we preach, then is substitutionary work. He came filled with everything that his people will need, without one iota missing. There's nothing missing in his fullness. There's nothing that his people could ask him for that he hasn't got. There's nothing that they need him to do that he cannot do. And he came. And he who fills immensity was contracted to a span. Whom we preach. We preach then his grace. He came with truth and grace. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. Opposite me. Oh, to be a mercy if opposite me in us. He doesn't come to people that is righteous like himself, but he comes to make them as righteous as he is himself. And that's the work of grace in the heart by the Holy Spirit. A wonderful thing to get to heaven, my friends. It needs this glorious man and his merits, his work, his sufferings, his ignominy, to see who he was. And those rude soldiers, the commonest of men, spat in his face, smote him with a reed, put on him a purple common robe, took him in some byside lodge, took away his judgment. And there he was, and he could have dashed them all to death. But he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. you see them shearing a lamb. There is no noise. Very beautiful to see the lamb sheared. No, they don't speak. Although they're thrown on their backs and their wool is cut from them, there's no sound. But you touch a pig and there'll be a noise. Whom are we preaching? And we preach his righteousness. His righteousness is not as the righteousness of his own person. He doesn't make his people righteous in his divinity. He makes them righteous by going from beginning to end and working out in them by the Spirit that complete salvation that he came to do and did and finished and cried, "It is finished." When he cried, "It is finished," salvation was done. The victory was won. His people were justified. The work of grace in their heart was finished. It's finished. That is righteousness. It's done. There's nothing lacking. No flaw. Not a flaw. Oh, I think it's a wonderful thing that ever this can be written in the Revelation. In Jude, I mean. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, not faultless before a creature. We are faultless before our fellow man if we've done nothing that you can see amiss. But faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen. Whom we preach, he is to be preached, to be declared, to be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Serpents were the beasts that bite them, make of brass a serpent like them. That's the way I choose to say. Whom we preach then is righteousness, and also we preach his immutability. Of this he himself says, "I am the Lord, I change not, and because I am what I am, and nothing can alter me." Yeah, the sons of Jacob are not consumed. If I could change, you would be. Immutability is a blessed doctrine, and it comes with Christ. It's one of his innumerable blessings, spiritual blessings. I feel unworthy to talk of these things, especially when I read just now in the Ephesians. I really thought I ought to sit down And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now he works that same mighty power, the power of Christ's resurrection, in the case of every one that is called by grace. And it is the direct effect of his resurrection. And that direct effect of the resurrection of his people through his resurrection brings them into an eternal union with him that nothing can sever or dissolve. Then therefore they're in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free. What a people they are. Are we one? Oh my friend, I do need the Lord to confirm me. You want him to confirm you. These things are so great you can't take them for granted. And the more so as we see the day approaching. The youngest in this congregation may die before the oldest. Death, the only certainty in this life and eternity. Now, but the Lord Jesus has eternal life in him. And that we would speak of whom we preach. We preach that he came that his people might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That is a spiritual life, a spiritual mind, a spiritual conversation, spiritual walk. Whom we preach, oh what a person he is. We preach also his omnipotent power. His power is beyond any other power. It's omnipotent. There can be only one omnipotent. And this kingdom, this is his kingdom we're speaking about. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and nothing can move it. The second greatest kingdom is the kingdom of Satan, a mighty kingdom. But whom we preach, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It can never be moved. The Lord Jesus is the King. His people are the subjects. And oh, how great is the goodness that he has laid up for them that fear him. If we're talking the truth, my friends, and then you see what I've mentioned before, that there is a connection between how we live and how we die. Some people live just as they like, go where they like, do what they like, have what they like, and indulge themselves in everything that the flesh wants, and are religious and think that the two things can go together, but they can't, you know. Because the Lord Jesus, and by His Holy Spirit, will make Him so such a necessity and so precious that the things of God revealed in the Scriptures and brought into your hearts, and a view by faith to see His beauty, so as that you look into the perfect law of liberty and see such things there, and that you continue looking, you keep looking. And if we had the eyes of faith to see, with greater faith, we should see more in the Word of God than we do. But whom we preach, a warning every man, so that in preaching there is warning, and we need it. What a blessing it is to receive it, the reproofs that are through the Word of God, our blessing. You take the Proverbs. Oh, I'm thankful for the Proverbs. I could encourage our young people to read the Proverbs. Teaches you how to live. Marks out the path. What is good and what is evil. And it also gives a promise for those that are righteous. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. And it doesn't matter what it is like with him now. He may be laying on a bed full of cancer. He's righteous, it's well with him. Tell him so. Say to the righteous. If he's stripped of all he's got, and if he's misunderstood and his enemies surround him lively and strong, say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Heaven's before him. Christ is before him. He's an heir of heaven, joint heir with Christ. Whom we preach, warning every man, and we've got to warn a man of this. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. If we are lost, we earn it. The wages of sin is death. Wages is a reward, a payment. You get what you work for. But the gift of God without work, in the righteousness of Christ, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that cuts the whole population in two. There are sinners. We're all sinners. Unbelievers. Enemies of God. Their wages will be eternal death. There are those that love Him and trying to find Him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. You drop everything and go. I'm sure you would. You'd leave everything and go. There may be a moment when some of these things you've experienced and perhaps have never experienced them again in the same way. I remember decorating a room with the windows open, and I felt that this world was nothing to do with me. I should love to have flown out of that window, away from it all, give it all up. You won't always be there, but if you see him, you will. If you tasted his gracious, if the Holy Spirit speaks to you through his word and gives you to read the 104th Psalm, see what he's done in creation, his glory, his beauty, his perfection. Look at that kingdom. The creation is a kind of a kingdom. The peace there is there, no quarreling, no wars. It's only man that's vile. Man, the head of creation, is the only vile thing in this world. And yet he is to change that vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. That's the objective. That's what's before the saints, whom we preach, warning every man. Warning that no excuses will be acceptable. No, my friends, we are either saved or lost. And there is this. We are being saved or lost every day. Unbelievers who indulge themselves, who are ignorant and deny God, who blaspheme his name, they are being lost every day. But his dear people that love him, that are seeking him, are being saved every day. And they'll be saved till he brings them to heaven. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all of wisdom. Now that's the kind of teaching, and it's important that it's there. We read of it just now. But give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that's the only knowledge that is saving. To give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If you haven't that kind of knowledge, you're ignorant of him. You may read the Bible, read about him, read it as a history. And my friend, this sacred, inspired book is for the salvation of his people, is complete. And that brings us to the end of the text, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This perfection means complete. That we should preach the whole counsel of God, so that our preaching, when we finish, or when one who has heard us dies, that they may be presented complete in Christ Jesus. And second epistle, it speaks of it, ye are complete in him, and accepted in the beloved. You think of that. And the Lord uses the preaching of the gospel that these things may take effect in the souls of his people. And in the midst of all this, there are tribulations, losses, diseases, pain, agonies, grief. His people are not exempt from these things, but the Lord uses them. He brings them to weakness in order that they might know his power. He brings them to know themselves as lost sinners, they might know that he is a great Savior, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that makes the preaching a very important and very solemn, that we should so preach that in our measure and in the measure that you receive it, you are made perfect in Christ, that a perfect gospel has been preached, that perfect spiritual doctrines have been preached, that they've entered your heart, that you're born again. All that is born of the flesh is flesh, and you can make nothing more of it. You can educate it. You can send a religious flesh to the college. You can do what you like with it. I know I've made this illustration before, but it is so important that I will repeat it. Upon this point, if you go down on the beach and take up a fairly big smooth stone, that stone may have rolled about amongst the other stones for hundreds of years. But the inside of that stone, the water's never touched. Never touched, so much as if it'd never been in there. The only difference it didn't make is to smooth it outside. A solemn thing to be like that, to be under the preaching of the gospel, like the stone in the sea, associating with the Lord's people, and as it is in Ezekiel, come and sit before me as my people do, and roll about for 40 years under the truth, and be like that stone, never touched inside.